God tonight. I appreciate the good presence of the Spirit of God this evening. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. The Bible said in verse 33, "And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And he set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'That thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and he will believe him.'" Oh, what a true statement, Brother Mike. Verse 42, I've never seen it. I just read it. "He saved others, Brother Tim, but himself he cannot save." Oh, Lord. He trusted in God in verse 43. "Let him deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. From noon till 3 in the evening there was darkness. And about the ninth hour, around 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. Lord, so true, you saved others, but you couldn't save yourself. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying for the sins of the whole world. Yourself you could not save, but others you could, and I thank you for that. Oh God, thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray you let preaching be easy a few minutes. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for a place we can gather together tonight and come out from among them and be separate. Thank you for the Word of God, the songs of Zion tonight. I pray for this missionary family to Brazil, that God, you would bless them. I pray your power would overshadow them and protect them. Help this ministry, I pray. I plead the blood about it. I ask you to guard it and guide it tonight. Help us now. Save one if it be lost here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I'm going to preach out this Bible question this evening. It's found in verse 46 of Matthew 27, where Christ cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I've been dealing with Bible questions for some time. Here, as we start on this Palm Sunday, next week, as we as Christians, we We put on the calendar that Easter morning when our Lord got out of the grave. But I want to remind you there never would have been an Easter morning unless it hadn't have been this evening, where Christ hung His head and died for the sins of this world. Now, in this question, it was a specific question. Notice how He phrased it. He said, "My God, my God." He did not say, "My Father, my Father." But He did say, "My God, my God." For you see, the Father and the Son relationship could never be ceased. For Jesus is the Son of God. But He did cry, "My God, my God." It shows me that Christ had faith in His God. I'm glad that I have faith in my God tonight. It shows me not only the faith that Christ had, but it shows me the obedience that Christ had. In other words, He said, "Dear God, You have left Me in this hour, but I'm a trust in You with Your plan and Your providence. I'm trusting You with Your promise." Oh, what faith. Oh, what obedience. But oh, what love. When they came to arrest Him in the garden, He told Peter to put his sword up. He said, "I could call 12 legions of angels at any time that I like for them to come." Can I tell you, but He would not come down tonight. Because the love of God that was shed abroad in Christ His Son. Three things tonight that I'd like to share with you about why hast thou forsaken me. I want to talk first of all the reason that God turned the lights out is because the sins of the fallen. Secondly, because the satisfaction of the Father. But thirdly and greatly, for the solidifying of our future. You'll see, the sins of the fallen is why He was forsaken this hour. God turned the lights off on His Son. Isn't that amazing? And you don't hear much Bible preached about this, but it's still in our Bible in the book of Habakkuk. He said, chapter 1, verse 13, you won't have to turn, I'll read, "Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." Can I tell you, when God turned the lights off of His Son, God turned darkness around this whole world. It's because Christ was our sin barrier. God cannot even look upon sin, for He is so holy tonight. And therefore, He cried, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" First of all, because the sins of the fallen, that's you and I. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," that's you tonight, "believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The sins of the fallen. In Romans chapter number 5, follow along with me this evening. Romans chapter number 5. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" First of all, because of the sins of the fallen. Jesus had to pay the price for your sin debt and my sin debt in order to get us to God. Here in Romans 5, Paul is writing, and he says, "Therefore, being justified," it's a continual process. What Christ has done, when we put faith in Christ, it is a term that goes on in heaven. We're justified. That when we're sanctified, set apart, we're not our own anymore. We're a new creature in Christ. Not only are we justified, but the Bible teaches us we are sanctified. That lets us know that something went on in heaven. I'm glad I'm not my own tonight. And so he says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. What would we have done without Jesus? We could have never got in grace because he gives us access by faith tonight, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, verse 12, the sins of the fallen. Look, if you would, real quickly with me this evening. There's the roots of sin. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. There is the roots of sin by one man. When Adam sinned in the garden, we can take our lineage all the way back to the garden, and that's where all of our gene pool goes to tonight. We don't have to look on Ancestry.com to see where we go. We go all the way to the garden. And when Adam sinned, we all became having that sin nature when we were born. You don't have to teach your children to do wrong. You got to teach them to do right. That's what's wrong with our young people in America tonight. There's no mom and daddy's teaching them to do right. So we see the roots of sin. But then, I never seen it in this light. Look at verse 12. There's the race of sin. He said, wherefore is by one man centered in the world, and death by sin. So here it is. So death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. The race of sin, it passed upon all men. Sin is widespread tonight. Sin is at your house and my house. We're sinful creatures by nature. And therefore, when we realize there is the root of sin at the garden, there's the race of sin. I ask you tonight, why do we die? It's for one reason, because of sin. Why are young children taken in a car wreck? One reason, sin. Death has passed upon all men. We're dying. Everybody in the building tonight, we're headed to another place. Heaven or hell? If you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're not saved, you go to hell. There's no in between. So death passed upon all men. Boy, we fight that strong, don't we? I mean, every time I get a little ailment, I'll be honest with you, I love living. I love living. Don't you like living? But death is passed upon all men. The roots of sin, the race of sin. Verse 14, the reality of sin. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even after they had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. There's the roots of sin, the race of sin, the reality of sin. Verse 18, look, if you would, at the reach of sin. Therefore, by the offense of one. This is an amazing thing. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. See, when Adam sinned in the garden, he just did not hurt himself. But he hurt the whole race of mankind. When you and I sin, we may think that we're just hurting ourselves, but we always hurt others with our sin. And so here we see this reach of sin. It came upon all men. Underline that. And then lastly, the results of sin. Look what it done. It came upon all men to condemnation. That simply means the verdict. A very heavy sentence. When you go to a building and the building inspector comes by and it says it is not fit to be within the segments of the law, they'll put condemned on it. Can I tell you that's where all mankind is tonight? has condemned stepped on them. There's none good. No, not one. And you know the hardest people to reach for Christ is the better doing people. Clean living people. They're the hardest people to reach. But this Bible shows us that we're all guilty tonight. For condemnation came upon all men. Tonight, why hast thou forsaken me? Simply because the sins of the fallen, Jesus had to pay the price. I couldn't get to heaven on my own merit. This is what's so hard for people to understand when they're raised in a works religion. I have to do good in order to get there. Well, let me ask you something. If there's good enough works to get you there, then what's the bad enough works to not get you there? We can't work our way into heaven. We're saved by grace through faith. That's the only. None of us can live by the law. It's our schoolmaster. Oh, I do pretty good with several of them commandments, but I got a problem with some of them. I don't love my neighbor as myself. I really don't. And I doubt if there's anybody in the building. If you really look at yourself in the mirror of the law, you'll find out that you come up very short. We ought to try to live godly and close to the Lord. But our best day, we're a failure. But honey, what Christ done for us on the cross, when we believe in Him, I'm glad we're declared righteous by God tonight. Why hast thou forsaken me? Because the sins of the fallen. Secondly, this is an amazing statement. I want you to think about it. The reason He was forsaken, not only because of the sins of the fallen, but because of the satisfaction of the Father. Now, I want y'all to think about something a moment. I've really pondered this statement, the satisfaction of the Father. God is God. God can do anything He wants to do because He's God. But God chose His Son to get me and you to heaven. Would you choose your child to get others to heaven? God really loves us. So the satisfaction of the Father. What do you mean? Look in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and 10. I'll read it. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. Isn't that amazing? The old prophet Isaiah wrote years and years before Christ was ever born that it pleased God to give His Son for an offering for sin. The satisfaction of the Father. Look, if you would now, in Romans 3 and 21. Romans 3 and 21. This is some amazing scripture this evening. Romans 3 and 21. Why hast thou forsaken me? Not only because of the sins of the fallen, but secondly because of the satisfaction of the Father. The Bible teaches us in Romans 3 and 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, not of Muhammad, not of Buddha, not of Allah, but faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of them that believe. For there is no difference. There's no skin color with God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being, there's that word again, being justified freely by His grace. Here's a big word, through the redemption. That word simply means ransom in full. That is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. You know what that word means in Bowden vernacular? Satisfy. Or appease. Whom God has set forth to satisfy through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, the satisfaction of the Father. Now look with me real briefly, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Talking about the satisfaction of the Father. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's a change. It's a difference. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. And all things are of God, who hath, watch, reconciled us to Himself. Brought us to Himself. How? By Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation or reaching others. That's why this missionary family is going to Brazil tonight. To reach others. To wit. That word simply means in the manner of. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world, or bringing them to Him unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Did you know the only way that I can be reconciled to God is by His Son? End of statement. You can give all your money away. You can be baptized. Every catfish in the pond knows you by name. You can go to every church that's ever opened till the day you die. But until you trust Christ to be your Savior, hell will be your home. God means business. He sent His Son. And He don't take sin lightly. And don't you think for one moment you're going to get by God by not trusting His Son. Because you'll not make it to heaven any other way. Only by the blood of Christ. You see, Jesus cried this great question. Why? I want to say this tonight before I close. I think it's fine sometimes that we say why. You know, you've heard a lot. You've heard a lot of people say you should never ask God why. His Son did. We're human. We're not bulletproof. There's several times I've asked God why. But I can tell you this, God's always known best. I can trust Him in my situation. And matter of fact, God has done something for me and you that He did not do for His Son. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. We that are in Christ tonight, we have that hope. And so lastly, thirdly, why hast thou forsaken me? I thought about this question simply because the sins of the fallen, Jesus had to die to get me and you to heaven. Because the satisfaction of the Father, God thought it. God promoted it. God planned it. But lastly, to solidify our future, I am eternally saved. Because I believed in Christ and I was born again. Eternally kept. You say, well, preacher, go with me to Hebrews 2 and 9 tonight. Hebrews 2 and 9. T- to solidify our future. I have a great future, do you? I tell you what I'm planning on doing. This is what I'm planning on doing as your preacher. I'm planning on preaching here as long as God will give me health and allow me to stay. I used to think maybe I can make it to 65, but I'm thinking a little further ahead of that tonight. I'll be honest with you, I think I can make it to 75, but God's great. I may push the envelope to 80. But I don't really know about that future. But let me tell you the future that I do know about tonight. It's the future when this old tent is folded up and the tent strings are pulled up and I step out to meet my Maker. And there I'll stand with the blood of His Son applied to my life. And I will be eternally saved. I'll enjoy God while the ages roll on. I'm going to the city where the builder and maker is God. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shout. I told Renee yesterday, I said, honey, one good thing about heaven I'm looking forward to, I can shut my mind off. What a blessing. You ever lay your head down and your mind won't stop? Oh, what a day. Come here, Brother Tim. Come here, Brother Tim. Sing a song. What a day. You know it. I can't sing. I can barely preach. You can sing. Oh, what a day. Just carry out in it right there. I want you to sing it, Miss Sherry. Play it. Yes, it is. Stand with us around the building.